Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Tuesday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we study the Bible together. This week we're studying something we're calling pioneer politics, how the very first Christians, organizing themselves as a church community 2,000 years ago, ran into some of the politics of life. I'm not talking about politicians, we're just talking about how good efforts can sometimes run into opposition because life is so complicated. We're going to tell three stories this week. One, where the early Christians encountered someone wealthy, then someone influential, and then a middle manager, and they all reacted quite differently in ways that we can probably recognize in our own lives. The story we're going to study today comes from the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, and it's even written in the first person narrative. So when you hear "we," that's Luke and his companions. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrake, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Well, this first story is about Lydia, a woman who we see here was a seller of purple goods. And purple was a very expensive dye that would have been used for very important things, like royal robes, or would have been purchased by the wealthy, who could show off their wealth with things like purple dye. This was obviously somebody with access to some capital. If she was able to buy these expensive dyes and make expensive purple goods, Lydia clearly had done well in business. And she's not mentioned as the wife of anyone here, so it seems that she was a fairly independent businesswoman, which was unique in her culture. So we know she's a wealthy, probably powerful woman, probably well-connected, since her clients would be wealthy people. We also know that she was a worshiper of God, and what that means is that she was exploring Judaism. She was exploring what it would mean to worship the God of Israel like the Jews. These often seem to have been the first people to respond to the good news of Jesus. We see the Ethiopian eunuch, for example, who we studied earlier in this series, or Cornelius, whose story we also studied in this series. Both these men were worshipers of God, we hear, and so was Lydia. She was one of the first to respond in her community, perhaps because of her interest in worshiping one true God already, unlike the pagan worshipers who would have been around her, who believed in many gods. It says God opened her heart to listen to what Paul had to say. She responded. She decided to be baptized, making a very public proclamation that she believed in this Jesus and all he represented. And then she and her whole household are actually baptized. Which is incredible. So her household, which may have included servants as well as family, all came to follow Jesus together. And that would have been common in her day, that a household would change together like that, because that was so important. And so it was important as well that she invited these Christians to join her in her home, to show them hospitality, because that was very important in Middle Eastern culture, that people were shown the proper hospitality. Inviting somebody to your home really meant something. That you were kind of on the same page about some important issues in life, like religion. What's exciting here is to see that this woman of means, with some great resources at her disposal, begins to channel those resources towards the Christian movement. She opens her home to the early Christians. Later on, at the end of this week, on Thursday, you'll see the Christians returning to her home later on. They've clearly found this to be a home base, a base of operations where they can come back to and find hospitality before they go out on another mission to share the good news of Jesus. So clearly there's some sense that she's using the resources she's got to help advance the good news of God's kingdom. She could have reacted quite differently. She could have instead aimed to protect her interests and her reputation. Who was she to be listening to some story about a carpenter from Israel? She could have been, considering herself too important to listen to this message, but she did listen. She was there with other women, she listened, and she opened herself to being transformed by God's Spirit. She was clearly not so concerned with her reputation that she couldn't open herself up to God. And that unfortunately is the reality today for some. I knew a musician once who was exploring what it would mean to follow Jesus. She took the Christianity 101 course, but beginning to follow Jesus for her, being known in a community as a Christian and being part of a church was going to be a big decision for her that she wasn't going to take lightly, because her persona as a musician was one of being really hard-edged, really crass and crude. She had this really hard edge as a musician, and her reputation was built on being angry and things like that. And so for her to go and become a follower of Jesus was gonna call some of that into question, was gonna force her to transform and change. She didn't have to change and transform in order to be a Christian, but she was beginning to recognize that following Jesus would transform her. Once she accepted that Holy Spirit, freely offered to everyone, then she would need to transform. There is always transformation involved in becoming a follower of Jesus, and we don't want to take it lightly. Diving into following Jesus is open to anyone, but once we get in those waters, they will transform us. They will wash us clean. They'll call us to change our behavior, our ideas, our morals, and so on. She recognizes there are more choices in her life than just two. This isn't a question of just throwing everything away and following Jesus. And it's not a question of just holding on to everything she's got in order to protect herself from Jesus. Rather, what she discovers is there's a third way in life. She can channel the incredible resources and business acumen that she's got and use it for God's kingdom. And that's what she does. She decides to follow Jesus, to share Jesus with her household, and to share in the movement, to contribute what she has to helping others learn about Jesus. That's the best way I think somebody can respond to this message, especially somebody with wealth, with power, is to use what they've got to help advance the kingdom of God. So here's a question I want you to think about and hopefully discuss with others before we see a very different story tomorrow about people reacting very differently to the Christian movement. What resources do you have, and how could you channel them towards God's work in the world? Have a great discussion. Don't forget, we read the Bible in sync as one community. So check our website or app to see what today's reading is so you can read it in sync. Bye for now.